Good evening. It's great to see all who come out to worship our God tonight. Thank you so much for being here. And unusual evening this evening in a number of respects. We're starting a gospel meeting on a Wednesday evening. I don't remember in my lifetime ever doing that. But if it winds up, and I think it may, being a great meeting, you know, all the congregations in the area will probably start it. So we may start a trend tonight. So glad to have Tim Stevens with us this evening and starting a series of gospel meetings, talking about worship in song this week. And Tim will have some things to say to us, both I think from Scripture and then some practical applications of what he'll be talking about. I was thinking today about this series. The elders have planned this and thought about this for some long time to help us in our worship in song, to help us understand what our motivations need to be, to help us want to do a better job at glorifying our God. And they've communicated all of that to me for some time now, and I'm looking forward to the few days very, very much. And we're so glad to have Tim with us. Most of you know Brother Tim, but he's given a lot of his life to helping brethren edify God in song in a more glorious way. And so we're so happy to have him with us this week. And I just ask you to give your heart into what he's going to be leading us to do and to know. And I think we'll have a really wonderful week. The meeting times through Saturday evening, 7 o'clock each evening, then Sunday, 9 o'clock, and 3 p.m. service Sunday afternoon. There's some cards still on the back if you want to invite some friends from neighboring congregations. Our goal here, I think, is mainly to help us here at Eastside, but certainly everybody is welcome to come and enjoy this with us. I might just, I started to say something a minute ago. You'll have to pardon me. I'm not going to take all of Tim's time, I promise. But I don't know how much value or if there'll be any preaching in heaven, how much collecting of, you know, your giving we'll have in heaven, how much praying we'll have to do in heaven. But I'm pretty sure there's going to be some singing in heaven. So what we're talking about these few days not only is for here and now, but it's for eternity. And if somebody wants to know the importance of it, that's the importance of it. So thank you for being here. Just a few announcements before we get started. My wife Sandy went through hip surgery yesterday, got to come home today, is doing really well. Thank you for your prayers. We ask your continued prayers as she goes through rehab and recovery, that complications will stay away and she'll be able to recover well. Linda Curtis is not with us tonight, not feeling well. Ken Jones' family is homesick with the flu. I think others may be in that category as well. Jennifer LaCasse is home with the girls, not feeling well. And Bernetta Merle is homesick with the flu. So that's quite a few. We have some meeting announcements, other things going on in the area that are on the bulletin board as you go out the main entrance to the right. Make sure to check those out. As we go through the service this evening, I've asked Adam Kindleball, who's visiting with us tonight, to lead us in a prayer as soon as I get finished, and then we'll give the rest of the time over to Tim. So Adam, if you will, come and lead us in a word of prayer.
So we pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, you who rule your creation from on high in majesty and might, in justice and in righteousness, in love and in mercy, we bow humbly before your holy throne. We're so grateful, Father, that we have this opportunity to come out tonight to be together and to study from your word. We're so thankful for the opportunity for tonight and for the rest of the week provided by the congregation here at Eastside to study from your word about our worship in song to you. We're thankful for Brother Stevens and his efforts and his study and his willingness to come and to break open your word to us concerning this subject, and to help us that we might see what is your will for us in our worship to you in song, and how we can diligently seek you in that. We're so mindful also, Father, of the many who are sick with the ailments of the season. We pray that you would bless them with a restoration of their health, that they may be able to go about the things that they do in service to you and to others as they have, as they usually do. And Father, we're also mindful of those who are suffering from more long-term and serious sicknesses and physical ailments. We thank you for the success of surgeries that have been done recently, and we pray that you'd continue to be with that recovery, with those recoveries. And we pray for those who are suffering from long-term illnesses and going through treatments that are painful and slow, and we pray that you would grant them healing, Father, and comfort in their in this time of difficulty. We're so thankful, Father, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be a servant to us and to die on the cross, that tempted like as we, yet without sin, he might be that perfect sacrifice that we need for the eternal forgiveness of our sins and that home in heaven. And for that we praise you and honor you and give you glory and thanks. And it's in his precious name we pray all these things, if they be your will. Amen.
Coming through there, you go. It's coming through now. Good to be with all of you. Look forward to this time of spending with you in an effort to improve in our worship. And there will be things that we'll be studying from God's word, but primarily we're going to be working in the area of singing praises to God. There'll be a lot of singing each night, and be going through some things with you. We won't be getting into a lot of theory. Certainly don't want to do that, don't have time to do that. But I want us to understand the importance of our worshiping God. You know, when James said, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. You know, how can we draw near to God? We draw near to God when we pray. We draw near to him when we read his word. So many things we draw near to him. In and out of worship, when we come together to assemble and worship on the Lord's Day, we draw near to him by gathering around the table, reflecting back upon the death of our Savior. So many ways in which we can draw near to God, even given of our means. But singing is another way that we can draw near to him, and he draws near to us. Something that we can do together, we can do it with in private, and I'll talk more about that on Sunday morning, this coming Sunday morning, the Lord willing. But what I want to show you right now, and then we're going to sing a song, is that probably tomorrow evening, if you don't mind doing this, I had to look at your building and see how it's set up. I'd like to get people singing in parts. People come up to me and say, well, I'd like to sing tenor, or I'd like to sing bass or alto or soprano. Well, I'm going to tell you where I'd like for you to sit, if you don't mind doing this. But tonight, don't worry about it. It'd take us probably 30 minutes to get settled down, so we won't bother with that tonight. But before we talk, I'm not going to talk anything about that, but other than the fact that tomorrow evening we get the basses up here on the left and the altos here and the sopranos and tenors, and you may say, oh, I have no idea what I sing. Well, I'm sorry to tell you. You need to be here. We'll find a place for you, okay? And you may decide you want to sit behind everyone. That's fine. But again, there are people who come to me and say, I want to learn how to sing tenor or alto. I wish my wife Vicky could be here, because she is a very, very strong alto. I used to say that my wife had a loud voice, and she said, I wish you wouldn't say that. And I said, okay, well, you have a strong voice, and when it comes to alto, it just has a way of resonating, and people want to get near her, especially the women who are singing alto. But again, this is all about worshiping God, getting closer to Him. And I know this, and you know as well, that God, from the very beginning, has always required the best out of His people, that they give their best to Him in all areas of life, in all areas of worship. And this is part of it, is worshiping God through song. Now, you'll sometimes hear the song leader, maybe you hear that here, where he'll say, do, mi, so, or do. Those are the singing names or syllables that you may be familiar with. Some of you may not. But there are shapes that go with that. There's like the housetop shape. That's do. There's mi that's shaped like a diamond. And then there's a sol that's an oval shape. And then back to do. Now let me just go through this with you. And you just follow along with me, please. And then we're going to sing a song. Do. So there's this note right here. And when the song leader does this, he's doing it for a reason. He's trying to get everybody to start with him on this first note, rather than just getting up there and just grabbing a pitch out of the air and waiting for people to kind of join in. No, it's about us coming together and being united and starting together, as many as they can. But do, mi, so, do. Do that with me. Do, mi, so, do. Now here's a song, Wonderful Story of Love, that we're going to start on each one of those notes. Basses are going to be down here. Do. Alto are going to be right there. Mi. Tenor is going to be so. And where do you think the sopranos are going to be? Do. Now, let me hear you. Do, mi, so, do. Sing. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. With you, Lord of strength. Angels and pastor announce it. Shepherds and wonder receive it. Sinner of what you believe in. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful of love. A song like this without giving the pitch at all. And guess what happens? He's starting all by himself. And so I'm going to encourage your song leaders this week while I'm here as we get together and get them where they're doing that and where most of them are doing it so that you get familiar with that. And maybe you already are. I just don't know. But these are things that I think are very important in us singing together. And again, it's about being united together in our worship to God. It's what it's all about worshiping God. And like Steve said earlier, this is something we'll be doing in heaven. When someone says, well, I don't like to sing. Well, I've heard people say, well, then you're not going to enjoy heaven. Well, I don't think that's the correct way of putting it. We're all going to enjoy being in heaven. But singing is something that we'll always do throughout eternity. And so now, the song, I Will Call Upon the Lord. You know the song? I'm sure you probably have heard it. I Will Call Upon the Lord. We're going to start with the men singing, starting off with a do. That's our keynote groove. You see the do shape. That is the starting, no, that is the keynote to a song. So here we go. Do.
I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth and bless me the rock.
going to point this out here at the very beginning tonight, and I'm not going to get into any more about too much about the theory, but someone will come to me and say, we weren't singing that right. Now, there's someone here that already knows what I'm talking about, who knows music. Were we singing that rhythm right in that chorus? No, we weren't singing right. We're singing it the way we learned it, though. But let me just show you what I'm talking about so that everybody knows. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. You know, you're like, what? That's not the way we've learned it. We go, blessed be. But the writer of the song meant for the emphasis to be upon the rock. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. Just say that with me. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. How do we sing it? The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. That's the way you learn it. Keep singing it that way. Here's what's happening right here. Right here, where I've highlighted here, you'll see there's something different about this note. It's got two flags on it, doesn't it? Two flags. When you see a note with two flags, don't park. Get off of it quickly. That's for us to know as we continue on from here. But there's many songs that have been learned incorrectly. I know my father, being a songwriter, would say to me later on, after people learned a song of his and they didn't learn it the way he quite wrote it, he said, you know, now I wish I could go back and write it the way they sing it, because that's the way they feel it. And probably most writers feel the same way. But I do know the reason why this person did this was to emphasize the rock. You know, and then sing that with me. Let's sing it correctly, and then we'll, from now on, we'll sing it incorrectly. All right? Right now. Do that with me. So be so. Everybody's on the same note here. So, what I mean by that is everybody sing the soul. Do be so. Basically, we'll so. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I want to go now. Now we'll talk about rhythm. Most everywhere I go, I'll ask the question, what seems to be the problem? And they always say, the majority of the time, 99% of the time, is we sing our songs too slow. We drag our songs. I can already tell, though, in the last 10 minutes, listening to you on these two songs that we've done thus far, you all have some very good singers here. I'm hearing soprano coming through strong. I'm hearing the altos not as strong. I hope they're stronger by the time I leave. I hear the tenors, I hear the basses. But overall, what I'm hearing from the parts sounds good to my ear, but it's not about pleasing my ear. What we're here is to please God. Everything we do, to please Him. But as we work toward improving in the area of singing, we're going to benefit from it. Our aim, though, is to please Him, but we're going to benefit from it, from the fact that we're going to be glorified. Or we're going to be edified. We glorify Him, we're edified in the process. Now, here's some things that some of you, I know, are not familiar with, but this might help you, though, when you look at a song. People come up to me all the time saying, I didn't know what these numbers meant, but now I do. What I want to get you to do is, if you don't understand about too much about rhythm, that you can look at a number and say, I'm going to feel the rhythm of this song. It may be in a 4-beat, it may be in a 3-beat or a 2-beat. Here's what I mean. First of all, there's a time signature, which is, for example, right here, it's 4/4. And time signature, this is not really right. When I say determines tempo, it relates to tempo. There are other ways that helps in determining the tempo of a song. The song itself. just the message of the song. So, but you'll notice what I have highlighted in red. These are hard for you to see, but these are measure bars, these vertical lines. Very important when you see a vertical line, because between one vertical line and the next one is called a measure. And there are so many beats per measure. In this case, there are four beats per measure. See, there are four pulsations. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. The song leader, if he wants to lead that in a four beat, should use a four beat pattern, which is down, in, out, up. One, two, three, four. Down, in, out, up. When he gets to the next measure, he's going right back. He's repeating that beat pattern. One, two, three, four. So what he's doing is getting us all to feel the rhythm of a song. You may say, well, I cannot count the rhythm of a song. Some people may say, I don't know a whole note from a quarter note. Well, okay, at least feel the rhythm. Get a feel of the song, the rhythm of a song. Now, there are songs that have a three on top. So how many beats per measure now? There are three beats per measure. Here's a beat pattern that's most commonly used. Down, out, up. Down, out, up. One, two, three. And then there's a two on top. Oh, there was a three beat pattern, by the way. Some have learned to come down and go in and then sweep back up. I believe it's better to go down and out and come up. And I'll tell you that more as we go on through our time together. There's a two on top. It means two beats per measure. So you want to feel the two beats. One, two, one. Sometimes there's a slow two beat. Sometimes there's a fast two beat. And you'll beat that in a down, up, down, up, down, up. Again, when I say that, you'll do that talking about your song meters. Now let's look at this here. Four on top, four beats per measure, four beat pattern. And there's only three beat patterns for song leaders to know, to learn. But I believe that everyone here who are following needs to know what these are as well, not just the leaders. We have a song, Alma Christian Soldiers, that's in a four beat. See that four on top? Look at that. Always look at that top number to get a feel of the rhythm of a song. Here we've got a measure bar. Here, 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 here. How many beats will that take? Four. Any measure in this song will take four beats. So we have one, two, three, four. One, two, and three, four. And then one, two, three, four, and there's one, two. In other words, I know how long to hold war, just by using a beat pattern. But if I wasn't using beat pattern, if I was just doing this, I might not come up with four. I may stop at three and keep moving, or I may go five. But the beat pattern is telling you when to get off that note and proceed. That's what keeps the rhythm moving in a song, to keep it from dragging in a song. So I want to do something with you right now. Everyone that wants to do this exercise, this is training. What we're doing is beat pattern, come down. Go ahead. Raise your hand up and do this. Be fine. I encourage the men, women, and children when I'm doing this, and I emphasize this is a training series, and so feel comfortable and move your hand. Down, in, out, up. Down, in, and then count it. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. So I'm running out of breath, almost didn't get there. But I knew that the beat pattern's telling me how long to hold that note. All right, let's sing that together.
Three, four, with the cross of Jesus going.
song, I Am the Way. I don't know if you're doing this song, or, but it's kind of catching on all over the country. But I Am the Way. See how well we do it. Do.
This is a four-beat pattern, so do the starting note from the song leader, the soprano, do so tenor, the alto, bassist, do so do. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, I am the light, I am the sun, I am the Lord, I am the King.
Pattern down, out, up. One, two, three. Son of my soul, three on top. Just think three beats. There's our measure bars. So what do you do to get to measure bar? Start back over beat one. Beat one is always strong. Son of my soul, thou Savior dear. I'm overemphasizing it, but it doesn't hurt. It's just emphasizing that strong beat of that first beat of the measure. Here we go. Do.
Do basses, do soprano, do sol, do mi, do. Start with beat one.
Now, and my feet be humbly bowed.
Several years ago, a fellow came in to work on our baptistry. And it was during the week, and I was there letting him in, and he came out. He looked around, he said, "You don't have a piano here." I said, "No, we don't use instrumental music in our worship." And he said, "Well, we don't either." And I said, "Well, we got to talk a little bit more." He was a Mennonite. And he said, we don't use that in our worship. We just sing a cappella." I said, "Well, we do the same thing." And I told him why we do it. I said, we're authorized to sing in New Testament worship. And I mean, he fully agreed with what I was saying. And then he said, we went up to the whiteboard, and he went up and he drew this triangle shape and a half circle and a diamond and a right angle. And he went through oval, rectangle, and we went through and the cone. He said, "You know what these are?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, where'd you learn them?" I said, "Well, I learned them growing up. My father taught these to me. And my grandfather, we used to sing these all the time. Got very familiar with them growing up." And he says, "Well, I did too. I learned them very early in life." He said, "Matter of fact, in the Mennonite schools, it was part of the curriculum, still is, that they teach their children how to sing, how to sight read." And he said, "We'd go through all this with the boys and girls. We'd learn how to sight read using all these shapes and so forth. And then we'd go into a class for song leading, beating time, and with 2-beat, 3-beat, and 4-beat. And the girls had to be in there too. And the girls complained about it, saying, "Well, why are we in there doing this when we are not allowed to lead in the assembly?" And they said, "You're learning how to follow the leader." And when I heard that, I decided to change my whole approach to teaching congregations. That's why I'm so happy that you all are here together, men, women, and children. And when I go to places for example, one time I was out in Tucson, Arizona, and people are spread out all over that area there. It takes them a long time to get to the building. It really was good to do this because families came together. They all came in the car together and were able to work throughout the week. And it really was very good. And not only that, if a father was not feeling real good about his leading abilities, he had a wife and kids encouraging him to come back the next night, next day. And so it worked out really well to have us all together. And I hope tomorrow night, Lord willing, we have the same group here tomorrow night. I've seen it happen. Been in places where on a Wednesday night we spent about an hour together and people came back the next night because they were learning something from the first night. And these are things that are very, very basic, but it's going to help us in our worshiping. And I am so encouraged today and have been throughout my wife and I, we have 3 daughters. And now we have 8 grandchildren. And we all worship together in the same congregation now. And to sit there on the same pew with our grandchildren and singing praises to God, it's just what a blessing we have in doing that. It hasn't always been that way as far as us being together, but now we are. I want to encourage you in this throughout the next few days that we're together. We just got through singing, "Lord, We Come Before Thee Now." We had a fellow years ago. My wife and I I worked 18 years for the Santa Fe Railroad, and we were transferred all over the country. And we were in an area where there was no faithful church meeting, so we had to travel about 35 miles to worship. And one night we were there, and I heard somebody trying to sing who thought he was singing. It was the most awful thing I'd ever heard in my life. And it was near the end of the service, and I thought, where is that coming from? And not till we stood up for the closing song, I saw where it was coming from. There was a fellow over there, stood about 6'5", and he just was just belting something out. It wasn't the song we were singing. He thought it was. And as we were driving home, I said to my wife, I said, "Did you hear that fellow tonight that was singing so off key?" She said, "How could you not hear him? It was awful, wasn't it?" "Oh, it was terrible." Well, we decided that we were going to begin a new work where we were, 35 miles south of this place. Guess who lived in our area? who was going to be a part of this new work. It was him. And I said, boy, this is not going to be easy at all. It's going to be very difficult. He came to me one day and he said, I want you to come to my house and teach me how to sing. And when I said that to my wife, Vicky, she said, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding at all. He told me to be at his house. When? Tomorrow night. And that this man had been he was a former Marine, and he was very demanding. Be at my house tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I think he used military time, I believe, is what he did. But anyway, I was there a little bit before 7. And I do remember his wife saying to the two of us, you guys go in the back bedroom and close the door. We don't want to hear you. So we go back there. And so I didn't know what to do. I thought, here I'm with this guy that I've already heard him once, and it was awful. So we took a songbook, like the one you have here, and I turned to the Lord, we come before thee now. And so he was sitting on his bed, and I was standing in front of him, and I just said, okay, I want you to hit this note. And then I had a pitch pipe, and I blew that note. And then he said, what do you mean hit it? Because that meant nothing to him. I said, I want you to sing that. Well, I want you to sound that note. And I went, do. And he went, do. I said, do. He went, do. I said, do, do. I said, you got to come up. He said, what do you mean come up? I said, you got to come up with the pitch. You got to come up and match where I'm hitting this note, where I'm singing this note. I went, do. He went, do. I said, well, you come up a little bit, but that ain't far enough. And I went, do. And finally, I just thought, well, I'll go down there with him. So I went, do. He went, do. I said, you got it. He said, I got what? I said, you got the note I want you to sound. He said, oh, okay. Well, teach me how to sing. I said, that's what I'm trying to do. I said, you're wanting to jump right out. That's right, I want to know now. Teach me this song. So I said, okay. So we took this song. Is it, you all have number 68. Look at Lord, we come before thee now. This is the song. And I said, okay, the first note of the song sounds like that. Do. So now he's up there. Do. I said, okay, hold on to that. Don't lose it. And I said, now say the word Lord to that sound. Lord. He went, Lord. Okay, you got it. He said, well, teach me another note. Okay, the next note's the same sound. We. He went, we. Teach me another note. I said, come. He went, Lord, we come. And then it dropped down. Lord, we come. Well, when he went down, he stayed down. He never came back up until we got to the end of the song, which tells you something. Even in someone like him, who had no training, ear training at all, when he heard the do at the very beginning of the song, the keynote, he was able to come back to it. Because we got to the end of the song, I'm up here singing, oh, do not, and he's down there, oh, do not. He's just saying words. And then, shall we seek thee, Lord? And he was down there, shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? He got back to the do, the keynote. And I said, he said, do you think I'm ready to lead this song on our singing night? Why not? Why not? He said, I want to try it. I said, well, then I'll help you. So the next time we had our singing nights were only about 15 people. And so he got up there and helped him through it. And he led that song, or tried leading that song, for the next 4 or 5 months. He came to me one day and said, I think it's time for me to learn another one. I said, I think you're right. So we learned another song. And then we learned another song. And then he told me, I only need to know 5. I said, why do you need to know 5? He said, that's how many we sing when we worship. I said, well, we could sing more. We could sing less. He said, I want to know 5. So I recorded some songs on it back then on a cassette tape. Gave them to him. He'd listen to them on his way to work. He listened to them. He learned how they sounded. And then he learned those five. And I asked him, why do you need to know these five songs? He said, because you're out of town from time to time. You're not here. I might need to be here to fill in for you. After about a year of doing those five, he said, I think it's time you learn five more. And we learned five more. And then he came to me one day and he said, I want to tell you how much you have taught me and how much I appreciate what you've taught me. I stopped him pretty quick, folks. I said, I'm going to tell you, you've taught me more than I ever taught you. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, because I've always been so concerned about hitting every note right and hitting the rhythm just right and hitting every note just right and other people around me that we hit the notes. But you've shown me something that has really helped me a lot. I've been concerned about having my voice in tune, but you've had your heart in tune from the very beginning. That night when I looked over and saw him standing there, looking up at the ceiling, I mean, I just remember how he was belting it out with all he had. And I just thought, that man's voice is so in tune. I mean, his heart is so in tune, and mine is out of tune. And so he helped me in getting my heart right. And I was trying to help him and was helping him as well. I really believe, folks, that when we get our heart where it needs to be, and we're not just talking about what's in here. We're talking about what's up here. That part of us that thinks and that part of us that reasons and understands, that's the heart of man. And I'll talk more about that on Sunday morning. So I'm just saying this to all of you here tonight. You may be thinking, well, this is not for me. Oh, yes, it is. It's for everybody. Because we, those of you that have obeyed Christ, you're in his family. You belong to God. You have a relationship. And you do your best. And you just give your best to this effort that we're doing this week. All right, just a few more minutes remaining. Sometimes you're going to see another number up at the top. Let me just explain to you. And this is not, don't let this overwhelm you. But when you see a 4 or 3 or 2 on top, you already know I got to feel a rhythm of 2 beat, 3 beat, or 4 beat. When you see a number like a 6, 9, or 12 on top, all you got to do, divide that number by 3. Right here, what would this be? 2. It's 2 beat. Called two-beat compound. In other words, we've got 6 beats per measure, but you would not want somebody to get up there and lead this. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, but rather, when with the Savior we enter the glory, won't it be wonderful there? I'm using the two-beat pattern, not bouncing back and forth like that. So here's our measure bars right there. So sing along with me on this. Do
when with the Savior we enter the glory, won't it be wonderful there? In with the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Home of the Soul is another one. It's in with a number 6 on top, 6, 8, 9.
We don't want to go if for the prize, but if for the prize. What we're doing, I have in brackets, first 3 notes are the first beat. When with the Savior we enter, no. If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er. So it's a 2-beat compound. So here we go. 3-beat pattern, like you used a while ago. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Now it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm not speeding up my hand at all. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. There's a simple time. 1, now I'm going to compound. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 3. All right, we have songs like Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Look where the first three are, the three notes there. Have Thine Own. That's right before the measure bar. There's your 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. And again, we're emphasizing beat one. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. See, I'm emphasizing beat one every time we get to that. Let's do Walking Heavenly Sunlight. Same thing. There's our 3-beat compound, like first compound beat, second compound, and third compound beat. But when we sing 9-8 or 9-4 time, we're always going to start on upbeat. Blessed assurance, worthy of praises, walking in sunlight. There's only one song in your book that starts on beat one that's in 9-4 time. I won't talk about that, and I'll show you while I'm here. But it shouldn't have been. It got changed later. But anyway, here we go. Do.
See where our measure bars are? Walking in sunlight all my journey over the mountains through the deep veil. Jesus has said I'll never forsake thee. Promise me mine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine.
While I'm thinking about it, here's the reason why I've encouraged song leaders, when you're using a 3-beat pattern, go down and out and then up, instead of down, in, and up. But here, glory divine. You can cut off. Vine. Now your hands are ready to sweep up. Hallelujah. But if you go, now if I go the other way, glory divine. Hallelujah. It's rough. It's rough. It's not a smooth transition. Another thing too, I don't particularly like backhanding the audience like that. That just doesn't look friendly at all. Okay. Hallelujah. I am rejoicing. All right. And let's do now one more with a 12 on top. Divided by what? 3. What do we have? 4-beat pattern. Just like we were beating the 4-beat a while ago. Do this with me. 1, 2, 3, 4. We're getting ready to count to 12. But don't move your hand any faster. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Now we're getting ready to count to 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You may be thinking, why do we need to know this? Well, let me tell you what, you've been singing it for many, many years. Songs like Walking Alone at Eve's at 12-8 time. So here we go. Do.
Walking alone at even, viewing the skies above.
home and think about it, and I hope it keeps you awake half the night. Okay? No, I really don't. All right. Now just look at the two, comparing the two together. We've got four beat, simple, one, two, three, four, or compound, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Songs like Magnify, oh, Magnify us. Magnify, oh, magnify, walking alone at even. You know, I'm not speeding up my hand movement at all on that. We get to three beat. Here's comparing the two. There's our measure bars right there. Three, four, we will glorify the King of Kings, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. All right, that goes comparing the two together, and then comparing the compound, two-beat compound with two-beat simple, one, two, one, two, one, two, three, four, five, six, one, two, three, four, five, six. Lord, we come before thee now, it's one, two. And then home of the soul, we did a while ago, is in six beats. Do that with me. Lord, we come before thee now. Now, if for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er. Y'all have really done this, handled this very well tonight. Let's close with a medley. Magnify, oh magnify, followed by Hosanna and Exalted. I like this as a medley, song leaders, because every one of these is in the key of G. It's all in the same key, and they all sort of relate, songs of praise. Let's do this, and then we'll extend the invitation tonight.
Magnify, oh, magnify, oh, magnify. Thank you.
through this in the song of invitation tonight. Bring Christ your broken life. Brother Steve will direct us in this song in just a moment. We talked about going to heaven, something that we need to think about every day, about going home to be with God, to be with His Son, to be with all those faithful men and women who've lived on earth and who've passed on, and going and seeing people and being with them throughout eternity. I look forward to that, don't you? That reunion that we will have one day. But I'm unable to find the way to heaven alone. I need some help. Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And Jesus offers to be our guide, to guide us there. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And we're guided by His word. I find it very interesting when I read what Isaiah wrote, the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 34, when he said, search from the book of the Lord and read. I never really just thought about that. But he said, search from the book of the Lord and read. When Isaiah wrote that, some 700 years or so before Christ came to earth, and then you find after Christ left the earth and went back to sit at the right hand of God in heaven, and we go over to the book of Acts, we read already there's been people who've obeyed the gospel of Christ, and you go over to chapter 8 of the book of Acts, and what do we read in Acts 8? There was a man sitting in his chariot, and he was reading. What was he reading? The prophet Isaiah. Reading from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, who had said many years before, search from the book of the Lord and read. And here is a man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said to him, do you understand what you are reading? Yeah, after I read that from Isaiah, now when I go to Acts 8, I've underlined every place where it says read or reading. How important it is for us to read from God's word, because it guides us to heaven. And he said to him, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before his shearer is silent, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. When you're traveling down the highway, and you stop at a rest area, I'm sure most of you will do this. You'll go over to a map that they have there at the rest area, and you'll just see on that map, one thing you're looking for, first off, is where are you right now? Where it says, you are here. I looked at a map today in the DFW airport, and I want to know, I had it, but they moved my gate from gate 42 to gate 9. And I thought, this is going to take a long time to walk. And so I began to look for the train. And I went up and I had to ask somebody, can you tell me how this works? And he went over and said, you are here. I can see that. I felt a little embarrassed. But it was important to know just where I was and which way I needed to go. Because I could have got on the thing, gone the opposite direction and gone through terminals A and C and D before I ever got back to B. But I got where I wanted to go from reading and seeing just where I was. And when you're stopped at a rest area, I don't look to see my destination first. I look, where am I now? Then I look to see where I'm going. I already know where I've been. But when I look at the eunuch here, and when he was explained, it was explained to him, and he finally understood what that meant from what he was reading, from someone guiding him, he knew exactly where he was. He knew where he had been. And the reason why he went on his way rejoicing, now he knew where he was going. Now he knows where he's going. And that's what every one of us in this audience tonight who have obeyed Christ, isn't it wonderful to know where you're going? Where we're headed? But there may be someone here tonight who just doesn't know. Your life is not what it should be, and you know it's not what it should be. Bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin. He will make new again. He will make whole again. Come to him tonight. Confess the name of Jesus, like this eunuch did, and have your sins washed away in baptism. If you need to respond in any way to the invitation of our Lord, come now while we stand and sing.
Again, I want to thank each one who's come out tonight to worship and honor our God and to be trained in how better to do so. One of the things that Tim mentioned at the outset was we want to give God our best in all that we do. And the story that he told of the man that couldn't sing the notes very well, I'd heard him tell that story before a time or two. And it always moves me because we understand the melody is in our hearts. And Tim understands that. But the better we can sing with our voices, I think the better we can sing in our hearts. And all of that goes together. We have to understand the Lord told us to sing and the melody to be in our hearts. And all that goes together. It can't be separated. So we hope this week that we can increase our ability to do both. Thank you, Tim, for being with us. We're looking forward to being able to glorify God and edify one another better. We're going to ask Johnny George, if you will, to dismiss us in prayer. We invite you again to be back with us tomorrow night at 7, and then Sunday morning 9, and Sunday afternoon at 3. If the elders don't have anything else, just go to God in prayer. Johnny.
Father, I'm so thankful that in your wisdom you created the church, and we've had this opportunity tonight to get away from the world, to come to the one who's never changing, whose love endures forever, so that we can worship you. Father, see so many qualities in you that I wish was in my life. The lovingness that you have, and the kindness and the tenderness and the forgiveness. Father, please help me to reach forth to those attributes and add them to my life. Father, I love you. You bring me hope and you bring me joy. And I hope, Father, that you see those qualities, my joy in serving you in all the aspects of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.